Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Thanks so much for sticking around as we get into our fourth and final hour this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game. Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky along with me for the ride. Thanks so much to both Mark Spears and Mark Medina for coming in for a great two-hour Warriors Roundtable. I think we, you know, uncovered as many things as humanly possible over the last 2 hours. And although the Warriors offseason gets wildly interesting, we're going to take our attention off of it for just a moment or two before we get back to it tomorrow. A little bit later on this week, we'll be at the Rakuten Performance Center to cover the Warriors draft. That's coming up on Thursday. Much more on the Warriors on the way. Ta-da! It's baseball season! Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing that it's baseball season around here, but indeed, it really, really is. It's actually happening. Giants and Dodgers are going to play tonight, so that's one of the best teams in baseball playing a Bay Area baseball team. We've also got the Orioles in town tonight, which means one of the worst teams in baseball is playing a Bay Area baseball team. So, gentlemen, here it is. I'm going to finally force you to do it. The robust date of July 17th, which is the 25-year anniversary of OJ's Bronco Chase, which would probably be a more interesting topic. I dare talk Bay Area baseball with you both. Are you excited about this?
As an alternative to OJ, entirely, yes.
Okay, good. Then let's talk about Madison Bumgarner. Any conversation about the Giants begins and ends with him. Obviously, he's pitching well as of late, and what he is going to mean to the Giants' season? Well, to the team, he's going to mean very, very little because they're going nowhere fast. But as a trade piece, he might mean an awful lot. John Morosi today on the Afternoon Delight talking about Madison Bumgarner, possible trade destinations and dance partners.
The way that Bumgarner has pitched, I think he has really alleviated any concerns that anybody would have had going back last year from a standpoint of health. So he's healthy, he's pitching well, and I think you can tell he's ready for a postseason run.
Ready for a postseason run. Okay, that's good. We're going to have to take a look at what his numbers are against other teams with postseasons on their mind, because you would like to know how Madison pitched against contenders if you fancy yourself a contender. And right now, John Morosi says the team that might fancy themselves most in the Madison Bumgarner conversation is the Minnesota Twins.
The Twins may be one starting pitcher away from being a legitimate World Series team. As it stands now, they can win the division, I believe, comfortably. But to really win the World Series, they need one more arm. Bumgarner could be it.
One more from Morosi on the biggest story baseball's going to get here in the Bay Area this year.
I still think, though, in general, guys, you think about Bumgarner's track record against the Dodgers, for example, and in the National League playoffs. If I'm a team like Milwaukee, Atlanta obviously has Keuchel already. The Cubs, they seem to be pretty well set. The Phillies, though, are a fit. If I'm a team that feels as though I've got to go through L.A. to get to the World Series and go where I need to go, I would love to have Bumgarner and that great track record that he's got against the Dodgers and over his career as part of my playoff rotation.
By the way, Giants-Dodgers tonight, Tyler Beede against Kenta Maeda.
I like Maeda in that one.
Mad Bum's 0-2 in three starts against the Dodgers this year.
He is, but I think he's given up like two runs though against them. I mean,
well,
he has
gave
not
up
had any support.
Five in one of them, but none of them were earned. And I watched that game, and he was lucky not to. I mean, he gave up a homer, and he didn't have any earned runs. Like that's luck. I'm not sure he is pitching well. I think he's fine. He's not pitching well enough that if I was any of those contenders mentioned, I would give up anything significant for him.
Nine starts, eight have been quality starts.
Which is okay. An interesting number that no general manager looks at.
I mean, eight quality starts, but that includes a few where he only maintained the quality start because of unearned runs. And again, Madison Bumgarner is a viable pitcher who can be good on any given day, and except in the last 2 years, can probably be counted on for a couple hundred innings. Is he a guy I'm trading for with the expectation that he's going to anchor my postseason rotation? I think that's very wishful thinking.
See, and I think looking at the Twins specifically, their need is for a reliever. I think they'd be more interested in Will Smith.
Yeah.
One, who would come cheaper. And two, solves their closer problem. Because
there's a few teams who could use a closer.
Taylor Rogers is not going to – he's not the guy you put your paycheck.
Boston could use a closer.
I think ultimately they're going to get Kimbrel, but that's another story. Go ahead.
We all agree that Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith are the two biggest pieces you have.
It'd be the only pieces.
Okay, so would you be willing to package them together if it could get you a mother haul?
Sure. I think you do – if you're the Giants right now, you would trade – anyone and everyone who could get you legitimately high-value prospects in return.
I don't think anybody off this roster gets them high prospects. And that
I think
includes
you're right.
Bumgarner, because for whatever you want to say about his resume or Will Smith's season, general managers prize prospects that they really like far higher than guys who have pitched as long as they have. They don't look at the baseball card anymore. Those are the metrics of the past. Now, the high-powered prospect is everything. And I don't think that you can get a package of prospects, let alone a package of high-powered prospects, for either of those guys, or for nearly anyone, as far as that goes.
Giants are in last place. Only the Miami Marlins have fewer wins in the National League. But they've actually been decent against the Dodgers. They've won 4 of 9. Against LA this season, and that's taken games away from the Dodgers more than the league has on average. Right now, the Dodgers are 48-24, and they're pulling away from the West. They're already 10.5 games up on the second place Rockies. They're 16.5 up on the Giants. Like I said, don't look now, but the Giants actually won 4 in a row, 2 against San Diego and 2 against Milwaukee before losing to the Brewers yesterday. And now they're out on this road trip. Again, Tyler Beede, who is 0-2 with an ERA over 8 against Maeda, who's 7-3 with a 3.89 ERA. Maeda is 4-3 lifetime against the Giants in 12 appearances, 8 of them starts, and we'll see what he looks like tonight. But the Giants are, honestly, 9 games under .500. That's better than I thought they'd be about around this time of year. Really is.
Well, for what they're hitting, they're incredibly fortunate.
They really are.
They're an abysmal hitting team. I mean, by any standard. And I think it is hard to make the case that they can fix that in less than 3 years, minimum.
And nothing makes a baseball team harder to watch than that.
As a guy who, at this point, pretty much exclusively watches 3 baseball teams, the Giants, the A's, and the Chicago White Sox, I can tell you definitively, I would much rather watch a crappy team that hits than a crappy team that does not hit. Because the White Sox are not any more likely to win something this year than the Giants are, but they're much more entertaining.
Yeah.
They're much more watchable. And I think that may...
A's too.
Of course. And the A's could theoretically make some noise this year. But certainly, just by virtue of the fact that you might score at any given moment. There's so much time watching Giants baseball where you're just like, we're definitely not going to score now. It's bad.
Big prospects do get moved at the deadline. We saw Gleyber Torres go for Chapman. Clint Frazier for Andrew Miller, Daniel Norris for David Price, Addison Russell obviously got moved for Jeff Samardzija. Is Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith, Chapman, Miller, Samardzija, or Price in terms of value right now?
Not even close.
I don't think so. No, I don't.
I think again, to put Bumgarner in that group is to waive the first half of this decade in a buyer's face and say, oh, no, this is the same guy. Trust me. It's not. It just isn't. Age gets everybody, and this is not a knock on Bumgarner in any way, shape, or form, but the fact is general managers don't look at what you did 5 years ago. They don't look at your rings. They want to know what's your velocity, what's your spin rate, you know, all the things that don't appear in a box score or don't appear in a stat sheet. It's a whole different thing now. And unless you sit there and religiously watch all those things that you're not going to see in a box score, you're not going to get what they're looking for anymore.
Can I sell you the worst bit of hope I'm ever going to try to sell you?
Give it a go.
Giants are walking more.
Okay. I'm convinced.
Feeling good now?
Yeah.
Does that parade go up or down Market Street?
Got to get on base to score, am I right?
Hey, if you can't hit your way aboard, walk your way aboard. Joe Panic just drew the second three-walk game of his season.
Don't sleep on Panic once he gets on the base paths.
Evan Longoria has now drawn as many walks this year as he did all of last year, and that is marked improvement, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're enjoying those Evan Longoria walks, which are now coming at you more faster and furious than anyone could have expected. All right, switching gears.
Their Pythagorean theorem is good, though.
Literally, Pablo Sandoval's the best hitter on the team by a long shot.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Put that in your Pythagoras and smoke it. A's got the Orioles in town. There's a matchup only a mother could love. But
if they don't win 4 out of 3, there should be firing.
Mike Fiers, especially firing that first bullet out of the rotation, yeah, they should. Because Fiers is 4-0 with a 2.82 ERA over his past 7 starts. It's a stretch that goes back to his no-hitter against the Reds. That was the second no-hitter of his career, obviously. History means he loves seeing Baltimore on the schedule. Fiers is 3-1 with an ERA around 2 in 4 career starts against the Orioles. So you might like his chances against a team that's going to offer you Andrew Cashner, very much an older kind of veteran journeyman. But Baltimore, it's ugly. 21-50. They've got the worst win total in all of Major League Baseball. And congratulations to the Orioles, the first team to 50 losses this season.
Hey, you know,
outstanding.
The Fiers thing, I'm glad you bring it up, because I think this is a guy who actually, if Madison Bumgarner had Mike Fiers' route to like a 4.63 ERA, I think his trade value today would be higher than what it is getting to the, 3.87 that he's at. Because Fiers, you can go, okay, but since that no-hitter,
slow start, and then I turned it on.
Here's a stretch of 6 starts in a row where over that whole stretch, I'm pitching really well. I seem to have locked into something. Bumgarner's been up and down all year, and I think it's just harder to sell that angle. Not that Fiers is on the trade market. I'm just saying, pattern-wise, I just don't know that if I'm another team, I'm super interested in a guy that on any given night might kind of get knocked around. That's what Madison Bumgarner looks like to me.
A's are in third place. They're 12 games back of the Astros. And the best piece of news that I have you this week is a real piece of news. It's not baseball news, but it's health news. Stephen Piscotty just had a melanoma removed from his ear. Could have been cancer. It was cancer. And they got that removed. He's going to go double flap helmet until his ear is better. But good luck to Stephen Piscotty, obviously. And needless to say, fellas, ladies, get yourself checked. Like, it's that skin cancer taggy time of year. Take a note from the Piscottis.
Yeah, safety first. Yeah, wear sunblock and all that.
By the way, that is pretty much tantamount to where baseball is in the information cycle. Like, yeah, we got some stats for you, and make sure to look out for those sun tags. Like, I mean, it really is. And it's beyond just the bad baseball that we're getting here in the Bay. It's tough watching baseball games. It used to be not hard for me to watch a baseball game. I was very much sold on the Bob Costas, you know, the game is not a tick-tick-ticking, you know, stopwatch. It's the slow pendulum of a grandfather's clock.
But we've changed, right?
And yeah.
I feel the same way.
But it's not just me changing. This game has changed. It is fewer balls in play, fewer fielding exhibitions ever put on around you. I mean, I used to go to baseball and love flashing leather as much as a big hit anywhere.
Here's kind of a weird question. When you were a kid playing baseball in the backyard,
yeah,
and you were like, oh, I'm going to be X famous player and do this thing. Who were you and what did you do?
It was usually Andre Dawson.
Okay, so you were hitting homers.
Yeah, or just hosing dudes down.
See, because to me,
dudes from the right field.
I was, you know, pick your middle infielder and throw that ground ball that I got to, like, make a diving play for and roll over and somehow get the throw off. Like, crazy in-play stuff.
Would you like to hear how many times I fantasized about being Ryne Sandberg or Sean
Dunstan?
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying is... All that
stuff. Is this going to end up being a creepy story?
No.
They all end up being creepy stories, Ray.
Creepy. Look where we ended
up. I'll tell you what. It really only gets creepy if I start talking about Mark Grace. You don't want to be here for that show.
Boy, don't I.
Well, if you start in about 20 minutes, we can all go home early.
I feel like the stuff that made baseball, it was that and it was throwing a nasty pitch to strike somebody out. For me, those were the things, like the when the ball is moving and it might be played by a player, not when the ball is moving and it's going to get dealt with by a fan in the bleachers. I do wonder if, as much as that idea of chicks dig the long ball and the more homers means more attention, they might have led themselves down the wrong path on that.
I mean, I think you can make a sort of backwards case for metrics in general being the cause of that, because science led us to the three
right.
true outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't something that somebody said, you know what, this game needs less action per game. They did this because the numbers show that this is the most effective way to generate offense. And there have never been more home runs in the history of the sport. And it's going to be at another record pace this year.
Look,
the A's, who are, you know, far worse than they were a year ago, are on a pace to hit 20 more homers than they did last year, which is one of their highest numbers ever. So I think maybe baseball is a victim of a number of things, one of which is it's considered not cool. And I don't know how you define that, except that when you talk to somebody young, said, hey, you want to go to the ball game? They look at you like you just offered them a dead cod. You just go, why would I do that? Games are longer this year than they were last year when they said they were going to, you know, speed up the game. You know, now, you know, time of game is longer again because the instinct of managers and general managers is to deliberate over the ancillary facts rather than run the game. The game is now sort of a proving ground for mathematical theories more than it is an athletic contest.
Well, and look, and nobody shows up to watch the math. What? Nobody. And when math is now being offered to you more than anything else, and they'll tell you, well, but math is going to translate to more home runs, and that'll be better. Actually, no, it's not. Contact hitters who could spray it around were a lot more entertaining than just ball hit, ball gone on an endless loop. You see, too much of anything is bad for you. Too much of anything is bad for you. Too much water is bad for you. You can drown yourself drinking too much water. It's happened in terrible station giveaways.
I've seen this.
Hold on. Oh. In 2013, one team hit over 200 home runs. 22 teams are on pace for over 200 home runs. How exciting is your favorite song if you hear it 30 times every day?
That's a great comparison. It's the song that you loved. I don't know if kids still do this because who drives around listening to the radio anymore? But certainly when we were in high school, that song, the like summer song, that would be on every popular radio station 17 times a day, and it seemed like if you wanted to hear it at any point, you could just switch between the three stations that played it constantly, right? And the first month, maybe, if it was really good, Semi-Charmed Life was awesome for like a month and a half, maybe even two. By month three, you can't avoid it, and you're like, good God, enough already. That's home runs.
Carly Rae Jepsen's
Call Me Maybe,
went from slightly catchy to I might have to shoot myself or someone if I hear this again.
That's what happens. And that's that. I think home runs are even more vulnerable to that because, to me, unlike non-home run hits, unlike really great defensive plays, unlike really nasty put-away strikeout pitches, you've seen one home run, you basically seen them all.
Well, and look, you know,
okay, that one went further.
The game of baseball has always been built around failure. Always. If you hit that ball 4 out of 10 times, every single time you get up, congratulations, you are the single greatest baseball player of all time. All time. If you can do it 4 out of 10 times. 4 out of 10 isn't even 50%. This game is based on failure. So when you have a game that's based on failure, looking to maximize efficiency, that is a sport, again, based on inefficiencies, you take all the fun and romance out of it, and now you have, like, again, what Ray said, the three outcomes that are now acceptable, which really are the three least entertaining outcomes if you go to watch anything other than the hitter, which I used to all the time. When we come on back, we're going to the calls. We're going to your phone calls at 888-957-9570. Also, Call Me Maybe. You can call Erik Karlsson a shark for at least 8 more years, $11 million per. We're going to talk to Ray about that. And we've also got a white Bronco chase 25 years ago to discuss. Don't you go anywhere. Our final half hour going to be spicy on 95.7 The Game. Right now, Matt Kolsky letting you know that we are out of guests from here.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
From the text line, Damon, I just asked my 9-year-old to go to a fireworks game. He said, nah, I'd have to sit through a whole baseball game. God, when a 9-year-old is like, yeah, Major League Baseball, I don't know. That's not a good sign. Text line's on fire right now and saying, Damon, speaking of fire takes, are the Giants one of those teams on pace for 200-plus home runs? No, they are not. The Giants are not a team on pace for 200-plus home runs. There are 22 other baseball teams that are. They're one of the 8 that aren't. 888-957-9570 is the number. Yes, we dare go where very few shows go, into the realm of a baseball conversation. I'm not going to lie, it actually feels kind of good. Like, it does. I you know, baseball's sort of like, no one's allowed to make fun of your brother except for you, you know, but like, hey, I'm related to him, so I can kick him when he's down. I love baseball. So I feel like I can kick it when it's down because I was there when the sun was shining and it was good and I loved this game and I defended it as it started getting bad or just as it started turning into something that was less desirable to watch or entertain. I'm sorry. The game, it's a chore to sit through on TV, on the radio, or in person. And I never, ever thought I was going to say that. I love the sport and my mind drifts from it.
But I would suggest that if the A's had Minnesota's record, you would not find it a chore nearly as much.
They were a 97-win team, and no matter how I watched or talked about them, they did nothing for me or the station, or there was zero attention being paid to the
I don't care how much attention. I'm talking about you.
Yes, and
you would not watch the A's if they had Minnesota's record right now.
I would. I did. And when I'm talking about a team that should have captured an imagination and it collectively did not, in any way that could be tangibly measured as, oh, people are paying attention to this. Like, what good did it do me? Like, here I am watching a team that, you know, we were the flagship of that nobody's paying attention to.
That's their problem in the offices. I'm talking about whether you were entertained. If you were entertained, then that's different.
Yeah, I thought their story was fascinating.
Okay, then you were entertained by it, and that's all that has to be. It just the fact that the rest of the world may not find them compelling is irrelevant to what I'm asking.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is baseball can be compelling when it presents a compelling story or a compelling daily view. The Giants are not compelling because they're dry as toast. The A's right now, they're a 500 team.
Right, but I did not necessarily need compelling baseball to be deeply interested. Remember, I grew up a Cubs fan. Compelling baseball is something that I was not born in the neighborhood of compelling baseball, but there were always players and stories and elements to the game that brought me to it, curiosities that almost go unsatisfied, unnoticed, like... you needed to pay attention to baseball because you wanted to stay in the conversation that you were having with your friends. My friends don't talk about baseball anymore, ever at all. And it's not because they developed into bad baseball fans.
I'm not saying anybody is a bad baseball fan. The point I'm trying to get to is baseball has stopped becoming compelling as a general rule because it flies in the face of where people's viewing habits and are.
How so?
The games are 3 hours long, but there isn't a lot of action in them, less than ever before. We just talked about that. When you've watched an NBA season, and you've watched five of them now that have been pretty fascinating, all of a sudden, to downshift into that, it's not compelling. You were compelled in 2014 when they were winning a championship. You were compelled in 2012. It is up to baseball to either figure out how to reach people beyond the wait till we give you a parade level. And that's why attendance is down across the board in almost every city this year. And it was down last year and it was down the year before. It is because the game itself is viewed as unfashionable. It takes too long. There isn't enough to watch.
Well, and I got a person here on the text line that says, Damon, your feelings on the A's are personal. We all know it. You don't speak for the rest of the fans. You're right about that. You fans speak for you fans. And we measured the amount of fans that would tune in to one of the most fascinating 97-win teams we've seen come out of nowhere in a really long time. And there were so few people interested who claimed to be A's fans that we couldn't be in business with them any longer. And your own fans were like trickling in with zero curiosity to your own stadium to watch your own team. Like, don't put it on me. I can measure and prove to you A's fans weren't watching the A's last year. So when it comes to like bringing in the casual fan, you couldn't even bring in the season ticket holder.
They are 4,000 up per game from last year.
4,000! Man, wow! 4,000 people!
Woo! That's 25%. Do you want?
No.
Do you want them to fill the place every night? Is that what you're after?
No, but if 4,000 is 25% of your crowd's hardly even a major league crowd to begin with. Get out of here, man. I got 4,000. That's a 4,000. More people go to an Indiana baseball game.
Oh, no, that's simply not true. Baseball game. Okay. Not a chance.
Oh.
The Indiana baseball team draws 19,000 a game.
No, 4,000. They draw 4,000 a game.
Okay, well, right now, their average attendance is 19,000. What I would suggest to you is that it takes a long time to get people interested after you've spent the last 10 years trying to convince people you have to move to another city. Because that's what they did. They did as much as you could do to ruin baseball in America or in Oakland. And just now are they finally getting some traction because they've stopped using that as a club over people.
I don't know that the Oakland issues are the same as the baseball as a whole issues. Oakland has shown pretty consistently over a very long stretch of time that if you build a good competitive baseball team, they'll eventually come out and see it. It's just every time you then tear that team apart and shred it with nothing in return, it takes them longer to come back the next time.
So that's also true.
I believe Oakland will be back if they continue to be good. That to me is not the problem here. The fact that attendance is down across the sport, that interest is down across the sport, that it's not the national draw, the national game on ESPN doesn't get what it used to me.
ESPN canceled baseball tonight.
That is stuff you can directly tie to decisions made by the sport. And I know, yeah. Ray, you like to focus more on what's happening on the field and how that projects. But, like, when you ask, how do you become cool or uncool? Well, there are things you do within the culture that contribute to that. Like, say, not allowing anyone access to any of your highlights so they can repost them on Twitter and things like that. There are these little decisions that baseball has made along the way that have contributed to them becoming uncool.
How about this? You're
not
entitled,
a question. That's absolutely true. No, baseball has conspired in its own undoing.
Right, and your only acceptable on-field display of emotion is stoic. Stoic does not trend, yo.
And not only that, but you're literally taking violent action against people who would dare violate your idiotic rule about stoicism. It's insane.
There's a whole list of reasons why attendance is down pretty much everywhere. But it's not in such a state that it can't be fixed if somebody who was forward-thinking, who wanted to reach out to people under the age of 55 and just say, you know what, we can make this game cool again. And there are some places where you can. I mean, the Phillies went out and got Bryce Harper. They're drawing 10,000 more a game now. That's a sign that you can do things. I mean, when you have so many teams that are so bad, the Baltimore Orioles, for example, that you can't watch them because you know they're not trying. You know, and there are more and more teams like that every year because there's somebody somewhere in accounting saying, you know what, you'll make the same amount of money. You don't have to spend money. Just, you know, either throw it into development or keep it. It doesn't matter. That's a message, too.
And unlike basketball, you don't know the guy that they're going after when they're tanking like that.
Right. There is the baseball draft is an examination of how poorly the sport has evolved. The NHL draft has more buzz than baseball's draft at this point in time in our sports life cycles. Someone on the text line says this has to do with the absence of social media stars. That's a part of it.
Yeah.
I think it also has to do with the absence of about half the league even trying to compete. El Tanco is now the Stanko that everyone is like pursuing. Like it's totally cool to not be a good baseball team in the name of, well, we're going to try the Houston Astros model, and way too many teams are doing it at the same time.
You know what, though? Ray mentioning Harper is critical because Harper's not the best player in the sport.
Leads the league in strikeouts, $300 million.
He's an all-star, but he's not even probably top five. So the reason the Phillies are selling is because what he is a star.
Right.
He's not as good as Mike Trout, but he's 10 times the star that Mike Trout is. And baseball has failed to create an adequate number of stars.
You know what, though? Well, but when I was a kid, it's not like they were jamming Ryne Sandberg down your throat, but, you know, he was a star.
You didn't have to jam him down your throat because basketball wasn't as big. Soccer certainly wasn't on anybody's horizon. I mean, just there's competition now, and there's competition about how you watch the games. If you're trying to watch a baseball game on your phone, you're a dope.
Yep.
By the way, I'll just say this about the A's attendance this year. Second biggest growth of all 30.
That's good.
So,
very
you
happy.
And my only point is, and I don't want to get into another diatribe, is that you can make yourself attractive if you try to make yourself attractive. They've done that.
Yeah.
We will make ourselves attractive to you with one more segment. If you're
I thought you said we were leaving.
If you're on hold, stay right there. We're going to try and squeeze you in next on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
With Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky, Damon Bruce with you here for our final segment. We've said quite a bit about baseball this hour. It's our first
all the official best stuff was off air, though.
Hour of baseball that we've had all year. That's what another deep NBA playoff run will do for you.
We'll talk to you next June.
It's what a couple of really bad baseball teams in the Bay Area will do for you, too. This is Henry in Oakland. Hello, Henry.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I thought I'd call in because I feel like I have a different perspective from most of your listeners in that I just graduated from high school in Oakland. So 18 years old, I have a perspective of someone who's part of the younger generation. So I grew up going to A's and Giants games when I was younger, and I just don't really get out to games anymore. So I'm part of that contingent that's just not going to games as much. So I feel like the game of baseball can't really be changed. I think it's a great game. I think I have a lot of love for it, but I feel like everything around it could be changed. So my recommendation to get more young fans out there, to get people more excited, to make them more engaged in the game is to limit the time in between innings when players are warming up, because I feel like that is where a lot of time is lost.
But that's commercial time, and that's the one thing that teams will never come off of. It might be boring for you in the stadium as you're watching guys warm up or you're paying attention to the scoreboard, but that's how baseball's making its revenue, selling those commercials.
They actually did give some back, and I just don't think expecting it to get more back is realistic at all. Also, to me, that, I'm speaking for myself as a viewer, that is less bothersome to me than all the shenanigans between batters, between pitches, where I feel like the most time
there's
is
a lot
wasted.
Of waste there.
Right. And it's not like clever, even charming waste where Nomar Garcia-Pera is going through like the 25th reapplying of the Velcro on his batting gloves. It's like even the human rain delays used to be more entertaining than they are now.
I think the controversial thing I would be most in favor of is away with pickoff moves. I've watched guys, I can't tell you how many times this year, without watching a ton of baseball, I've watched guys throw to first four times in a row. I don't have time for
that. Are we doing away with stolen bases?
No, you set a prescribed
actually,
lead.
You kind of are, because fewer and fewer teams even try to steal anymore.
Right, yeah, it doesn't even happen.
Draw a line. You can't go past here. Start running from here.
No, I mean, there are a lot of things you can do without tampering with the basic balance of the game, but the thing you've got to do more than anything else is convince people to sit still for 2 hours and 55 minutes. And I think that's incredibly difficult.
You know what I would do if I were the A's serious about building a new ballpark here in the Bay Area? I wouldn't be worried too much about the boutique-y nature of my ballpark. I would have a TV installed at every seat. I think you need a second screen. We are a second screen world. We are a second screen area in a second screen world, and I think that if you really want to put 30,000 butts in seats for a two-hour, this is going to be a long slog through sports, you're going to need to give someone else another place to put their eyes. And I never thought I would say that in my life, but here we are. I'm going to need this baseball game and whatever's going on with this guy trying to win Jeopardy. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a part of it.
Well, and I wonder if... Look, the problem with that is, if that's the issue, right? If people need that extra entertainment, why doesn't it do better on TV? Because it's the ideal second screen television thing. Scroll Twitter, watch a movie. You can do anything while you're watching baseball. You just have to look up every couple minutes.
Here's the thing, though. If you're offering me the second screen in a beautiful ballpark, like, all right, well, I'll come in and sit. You know, because baseball is still like a visceral smell the grass, hear the crunch experience, and... I don't know. I'm just trying to help. Let's go to Patricia in Walnut Creek. Final call of the day, Patricia. Make us look good.
Huh. I will indeed. Hi, Damon. How are you? I said to your whatever screener, I said, I hate to be pedantic, but you haven't said anyways yet today, but keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia.
Anyways, I want to say that I said baseball moves at the speed of sound and hockey and basketball move at the speed of light. And people are so impatient, so just, and it's just so preoccupied with keep me busy, keep me busy. When I was a kid, I went to doubleheaders at Forbes Field and got to meet Roberto Clemente. Not 1 minute of that was boring to me. I mean, just to watch him in right field, I went crazy. Those were the good old days. Where's Roberto? I got his autograph.
Thank you, Patricia.
That's the salient point right there. It's... When she got to meet Roberto Clemente, life was a lot slower, culture was a lot slower, technology was a lot slower. What you were talking about when you say, I want a TV at every seat, all you're doing is recreating your rec room.
Well, if you're recreating your rec room, why don't you stay in your rec room? You can get all of that without spending a dime. That's the problem that baseball's got, is that they think technology is the way out. And they have not been able to figure out a way to make the visceral benefits of being at a game worth it.
I mean, how are you supposed to compete with Twitter when Twitter's got this?
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Jesus. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on about everything.
No.
So this should be a lot of fun.
No.
I got a little getting even to do.
Mm-mm. A little even to do?
I feel like I could think of several people who saw that and felt like they had significantly more getting even to do than he does.
What's amazing is that this guy has not realized that editing is going to be weaponized against him, and it already has. He was just giving him a nice, like, Father's Day message, and somebody in the background is edited in, like, screaming, "Police! Killer! Police!" Oh, it's going to be worth the price of admission.
Someone is paying him to do this. There's no question in my mind. Somebody says, I can monetize O.J. Simpson still.
Sad and pathetic.
I mean, thanks so much. The fact is, O.J. Simpson ended as a cultural notion the day the 30-30 came out.
It was unbelievable.
It was one of the great documentaries produced in the last 20 years.
A 510 texter suggests Jim Brockmeyer as a solution to the A's, and I am on board with that.
Go ahead. Do it. Mark Spears, Mark Medina, thanks so much to the both of them for joining us to the roundtable. Look, Ray's got so much more to say, you're just going to have to stow it until 3 o'clock tomorrow, Ray. Can you wait a few hours to share what you have to say?
No, I'm going to say it off air because there's a lot of money in that.
Curses. Go ahead. Talking to your radiator when you get in your car. Thank you so much
talking to my tailpipe.
Smooth as 12-year-old scotch. Sports don't build
get
character.
On with it.
They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.